Hey friends, this is Heidi St. John. Welcome to the Heidi St. John podcast. Today is Mailbox Monday, which means I'm going to spend the next little bit of time here answering listener questions. Stick around. I think you're going to be encouraged. Well, I'm glad you guys are here. I just got back from the THSC convention in Dallas-Fort Worth and so glad to see so many of you there. I had an opportunity to do a Brave Storybook Hour with my friend Kurt Cameron and, of course, just Tim Tebow, some amazing speakers at THSC. I'm going to be going to the THSC convention in the Woodlands in Houston coming up in just a few weeks. And so if you missed this one and you want to go to that one, check out their website, or you can go to HeidiStJohn.com/events and find out where I am going to be. Speaking of where I'm going to be in the next couple of months, you know, guys know this is my busy season. So I'm on the road. I feel like I pretty much live on airplanes this time of year. And it's just a thrill for me to be able to be on the road, hear what God's doing in your lives, and encourage you in person. And so I want to thank you guys for coming out to those events. May 2nd through the 4th, I'm going to be at the LeConte Center in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee for the Teach Them Diligently Homeschool Conference. You guys, I cannot stress enough, so important. If you are homeschooling, come to a homeschool conference. We can encourage each other. You find out kind of what's the new and greatest thing out on the convention floor because there are so many exhibitors at these events. And I can remember very clearly the first time that I ever went to a homeschool conference. I was a very new homeschooler. And in fact, I just had made this decision, Jay and I, this what felt to me like this monumental leap of faith that we were taking to trust the Lord and pull our daughter out of public school and bring her home. And it was the best decision that we ever made for our children. Aside from telling them about Jesus, homeschooling our kids was such a monumental decision in our lives. And I'm so glad we did it. And the homeschool convention circuit really did solidify that we had made the right choice, and it put us in touch with wonderful people, and we got to look at curriculum, actually hold it and see for ourselves what might work for our family. And you guys can't go wrong. So find a homeschool convention in your area and then come on out. So May 2nd through the 4th, I'll be in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. The 9th through the 11th, I'm going to be at the Ark Encounter, one of my favorite places on the planet. If you've never been to the Creation Museum or the Ark Encounter in Williamstown, Kentucky, you are missing out. So come out for that, for the Answers Homeschool Experience. They have an incredible homeschool conference that is blended beautifully with other activities for your family to do at the Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum. Well worth it. You guys will love that with your family. May 16th through 18th, I'll be in Branson, Missouri for the Teach Them Diligently Homeschool Conference at the Branson Convention Center. And then finally, the 31st of May through the 1st of June, I will be in Houston, Texas for the Woodlands Convention. And that is the Texas Homeschool Coalition Conference. These are family-focused, faith-based events, and they will change your life. So I hope you will register. Let them know that Heidi sent you. And I can't wait to see you guys out on the road this summer. I want to just jump into your questions here, and I'm going to start today by a response that came in to us through YouTube, and this came in from Donna, and she was talking about sleepovers, and you guys may have heard that I addressed this topic on my podcast a couple of weeks ago. It comes up right now, summer camp, do we do it? Do we not do it? And my point was, you have to be discerning. Gone are the days when you could just say, hey, I'm sending my kids to camp, and not look and see what is the policy of the camp. Do they recognize that women are women and men are men? Do they allow pronouns? What are they doing? You need to find out. And Donna wrote in from Arizona, and she said her children range from 4 to 14. She goes, I have been wondering about church camp for a few years now, and my children have never gone. As a homeschool mom, I wonder if I'm crossing the line of being protective versus overprotecting. Thank you for encouraging me that I'm not the only one with concerns about everyone else is doing it. I still don't know what I'm going to do about this year's camp, but I know it will be done out of biblical wisdom and not fear or peer pressure. I think, Donna, you know, I'm golf clapping for you right now. Good job, mama. Your kids belong to you. And you shouldn't let anyone pressure you into doing something you don't feel good about doing. And that goes to the medical care of our kids. It goes to vaccines or whatever it is, you know, what we do with school, whether or not we allow our kids to go to camp. These are very personal decisions that frankly can have very important and sometimes lifelong ramifications for our children. And so we want to make good decisions for our children. And if somebody wants to accuse me of being overprotective, I frankly don't care. Don't care. This is Heidi St. John when someone's like, you're overprotective. Oh, okay. Next, you know, moving along. Your kids are worth it and they're worth you finding out what's happening at these camps. And I'm excited, Donna, just to hear what the Lord does. Also, most of my kids did not go to summer camps until I had older children, many of them working at camp. Our son Spencer was set in as the youth pastor for the church that we attend just about a week ago. And he is the one who is heading up the youth camp for our church. And of course, a couple of other of our adult kids are there. And so frankly, that's one of the main reasons why I feel good about sending our 13-year-old, because I know that her 23-year-old brother, who is the youth pastor at the church, is going to be looking out for her. So you got to take all of your circumstances, extenuating circumstances, you know, whether or not you know the people at these camps, how good you feel about the theology, the doctrine that the camp is going to be espousing during that week. Find out, get the answers to these questions, and you'll be able to make a wise decision for your child. Mari in South Carolina wrote in to say she is having a dilemma. So let's see what we can do. My husband and I vote in every local, state, and federal election. We voted for Trump the last two times. What are your thoughts related to voting for him again, when although he says he's pro-life, he is willing to make quite a few exceptions, seemingly to get elected? Abortion, in our view, should be a litmus test for a candidate, and yet Trump isn't all that strong in this area. Would you recommend voting for the lesser of two evils this time around? Well, Mari, yes, I would recommend voting for the lesser of two evils, because guess what? That's what we are always doing. I, like you, am very frustrated with Trump's waffly. Trump has actually done more for the pro-life movement than any president before him. He's shown more, shockingly, more moral courage in this area than any other president before him. And I think he's waffling right now because he is desperately trying to get the, you know, the midliners and people who, what I would call, are squishy pro-lifers, which, you know, it's pro-life, you know, we're pro-life unless, you know, the baby was conceived in rape. So in other words, we're going to kill the baby for the sins of the rapist. You know, we love, you know, this baby unless it has Down syndrome. So in other words, we're willing to kill a baby if it doesn't meet our standards for what we think would be a productive and healthy and good life. Trump has huge issues in this area. And I would say, and pardon me for saying it, I don't think he is born again. I genuinely don't think so. I have not seen anything that makes me think that he is a Christian, but we are not voting for Jesus for president, right? We're trying to pick from the best that we can. And what's coming up is, it looks very much likely, again, will be a Biden versus Trump showdown. Do I like it? No. It's amusing to me that the Democrats can't find anybody better to run for office. He might be the worst candidate that they've ever put forward. I was really interested in Robert Kennedy when he first started out. I'm fascinated by his position on vaccines and his willingness to talk about the medical community and the fraud that so much of so many of us have lived under and through because of lies and money that goes through, you know, big pharma and everything else in the medical community. And I was really impressed, frankly, with Robert Kennedy's stance on those issues. But make no mistake, Robert F. Kennedy is a far left politician. He is, wait for it, a Kennedy. He is a Kennedy. And while I appreciate his stance on many things, I absolutely do not agree with him when it comes to what's happening, for example, the drug crisis in our country, or how he feels about guns. That guy would take your guns away from you. I just want you to know. He's not a centrist, like I've heard some Republicans say. And he is not a moderate either. He is a leftist in every sense of the word. And he just picked a radical feminist, a pro-abortion, which this guy, he says that he's privately pro-life, but publicly pro-choice. What a garbage position that is. It's an absolute I mean, that'd be like me saying, you know, well, I'm privately, you know, anti-slavery, but publicly, boy, I'll tell you what, get yourself some slaves and I won't interfere. That's such a garbage position. And that's the position of a coward. And frankly, that, you know, and also he can't win. So you got those things against you. If I had to vote for Robert F. Kennedy versus Biden, I would vote for Kennedy. If I had to vote for Donald Trump versus Joe Biden, I would vote for Donald Trump. If I had to vote for Mickey Mouse versus Joe Biden, I would vote for, you guessed it, Mickey Mouse.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Joe Biden is a nightmare in the White House. Look what is happening on our southern border. We are literally, and we watch these boatloads of, you know, military-aged males coming to the shores of California. It's crazy what is happening in our country right now under the corrupt and maleficent leadership of Joe Biden. And so, you know, when people say to me, well, we are... it's terrible. We have to choose between the lesser of few evils. We're always doing that. You guys need to get out and vote. I spoke in Olympia last week and I said to, a crowd of thousands of people from the Capitol in Washington State, if Christians would vote, we would win. We would. If Christians would get off the bench and onto the battlefield, if they would just begin to engage in political discourse and in the process of electing our officials, we would see things change. But for so long, we have heard from our pulpits, from our pastors, from Christian leaders, and you know other spiritual influencers, for lack of a better word, that have nothing more than sloppy agape, and their theology is about as thin as the paper that is printed on. And they've been telling you that you don't belong in politics. Well, it simply isn't true. And so you need to vote. And so is President Trump my first choice and my favorite choice for president? No. Am I going to vote for him? Absolutely. I'm going to vote for him every day of the week and twice on Sunday, because this country cannot afford four more years of the dangerous and derelict in his duties Joe Biden. And that is a fact. So let me know how you guys feel about this. I'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to me, HeidiSt.John.com/mailbox Monday, and I will read your comments on the air. I'd love to hear the discourse. I think that the conversation is really important. An anonymous listener in North Carolina wrote in to say she wants to know if I'm familiar with the new term going no contact. I'm absolutely familiar with this because I watch the radical left and the transvestites and the transgenders and all the sexual weirdos on social media right now talking about how they have gone no contact with the people who dead name them or who won't use the proper pronouns. So yes, I'm familiar with it. She goes on to say, it seems my adult children have found this idea very appealing. Well, of course they have. Do they have social media? Then that's the new boundaries, right? Which again, that's also garbage, but whatever. It involves, quote, boundaries and toxic people. My husband and I are devastated. Our adult daughter, who was homeschooled in a solid Christian family, albeit not perfect, has gone silent on us for almost 7 months, and she won't tell us why. She and her husband have a new baby, and they say that we can come meet her, but won't tell us why they haven't spoken to us in all these months. They talk about boundaries, but we have no idea why. We've always had a good relationship until 7 months ago, and I often hear the same story from other parents, and I wonder if you're familiar with this new relationship strategy and how you suggest coping with it. Well, you guys know me. This is garbage. It's garbage how your daughter and son-in-law are treating you, and frankly makes me angry. This is not biblical. It isn't right, and you have every right as her parents to say, you owe us an explanation. What have we done? Years ago, and I think this is true. I bet you almost every ministry leader has a story like this. But years ago, there was a woman who was in one of the ministries that Jay and I were overseeing in Washington State, and she became offended with me. And so she stopped talking to me. She basically ghosted me. If I saw her in the grocery store, she would go another direction. So finally, you know, we asked, can we please meet with you in accordance with Matthew 18, right? We know as Christians that we are called to reconciliation. And so they agreed to meet with us, and we had a mediator present, another couple who was friends with both this couple and my husband and myself. And in the course of this meeting, and in fact, it was such a pivotal moment for me that I wrote about it in Becoming Mom Strong, talking about relationships and kind of the do's and don'ts of friendships. This is a big fat don't. She sat across the room from me, and well, we were in a little circle, and the mediator said, all right, this is your chance to tell Heidi, you know, why you won't talk to her and what she's done to offend you. And this woman looked at me and she just said, no, I'm not going to tell you. The Holy Spirit's already convicted you and I don't need to say anything. Show me that. Show me that in Matthew 18. Show me that in scripture. Well, you won't be able to, because we are called to reconciliation. And if your daughter, particularly if your daughter and her husband call themselves Christians, then you need to go to them and say, listen, you owe us an explanation. Yes, you owe us an explanation because you are our children and this is our grandchild. But even more than that, because you are Christians and this is not how we treat each other. And if we've done something wrong, I mean, I never could pursue reconciliation with this woman who was angry with me because she just would not say what it was that I had done. You know, and later on, I mean, and I still to this day, sometimes I don't think about it very often. Obviously, I'm thinking about it now. I don't think about it very often because I just am like, you know, there's nothing when someone does that. And this is true. The person in a relationship that says no has all the power. And that's true. If you want to reconcile and someone says no, they have the power. If you want to talk to your daughter and she says no, she's holding on to that power. And frankly, it's wrong. And it's a sin against you. It's a sin against God. And it's a sin against your grandchild, frankly. And so this makes me, I'm sick for you. I mean, when you say that you're devastated by this, I'm devastated for you. But Dr. Google and the woke internet is teaching our young people that this is their right. Right, that they should be able to form, you know, boundaries. Listen, I'm all for having margin in your life, and I think you absolutely need to have margin with toxic people in your life. But this idea that we just need to set up all these boundaries, everyone's talking about boundaries. You know, I got my boundaries, and you got your boundaries, and boundary. Can we also talk about the preciousness of other people? Can we also talk about how we're called to actually not be selfish in our relationships? And a lot of times, you know, people are saying, well, I want, you know, I'm making boundaries. And it's not because the person's done anything, you know, particularly heinous. It's just because, well, they annoy me. They're exhausting. Well, okay. Every one of us is exhausting on some level, I think. Or I also hear, you know, a fair amount of people say, well, I'm just an introvert and I don't like people. Well, I don't care. There's nothing in the Bible that says that if you're an introvert or people exhaust you, that you should be a jerk. Just there's nothing. And in fact, we are called to live selfless lives and to consider others as more important than ourselves. And there's a fun fact for your daughter and her husband. So I think you need to go to them. I think you need to ask them. And you may need to say, hey, you know, we're willing to get a mediator. Would you like to get your friend? You know, would you like it to be your friend or would you like it to be our friend? We're willing to get a mediator. And then do the thing. But this is garbage how your kids are treating you. And I frankly, this makes me want to cry because I, as a mother myself, I hear the pain in your voice and it is warranted. So I'm praying for you, Anonymous North Carolina. Don't give up on your kids. Keep praying for them. I've never seen the enemy so hell-bent on destroying a relationship between parents and their children as I do now. It's interesting. And then I'll move on to the next question. But it was interesting, you know, several weeks ago, I was at a conference in Indianapolis, and we were talking with another speaker at a table, and she was lamenting the fact that there are several relationships within the homeschool community that have been relatively public, whose kids are doing the same thing, just ghosting them. And it's the enemy, you guys, because, you know, you don't have to be, we're not talking about perfection. I don't know a single perfect parent, but I think that the enemy loves to destroy families, and we need to pray against this. And I'm going to be praying for you because just listening to this this other woman talk about what had happened with her, with, you know, in their circles with kids who would not speak to their parents, it just smacks of the enemy. And that's exactly what this is. So hang in there, and I'm praying for you. Annie in Tennessee said, "Hi, Heidi. I'm a new Bible study member. Woot, woot. Welcome to the Faith That Speaks community, Annie. I'm so glad that you joined us at Faith That Speaks. By the way, you guys can join me too. I am going right now through a Bible study on prayer. And we are having, this is so pivotal, you guys, because I really do believe if God's people, if we would access the power that God's given us through prayer, we would see lasting change in our families. We would see lasting change in the country, lasting change in the culture, with our youth. God calls us to be a people of prayer. And so the Bible study this month is called Access. And I hope you guys will join me. And you can do it right now by going to faiththatspeaks.com and signing up there. That is a monthly subscription Bible study. I write a new study every single month over there. Next month, we're going to be working through a study on truth. And you guys have heard me say, I think that truth is a hill worth dying on. It absolutely is. You know, it's why I won't play the pronoun game. I want to see life through the objective lens of truth. And truth is not subjective. You can't have your truth and I have my truth. And Annie, I realize I'm just derailing your question, but welcome to the Bible study community. I'm glad that you're here. You guys can join Annie and me by going to faiththatspeaks.com. That's faiththatspeaks.com. And we're going to ask the question, if your faith found its voice, what would God have you say? So faiththatspeaks.com. Annie goes on to say, thank you for all that you and your staff do. Well, you're welcome. My question is, what missionary stories did you read with your family? Any recommendations? Can't wait to meet you at the homeschool conference in Pigeon Forge. All right, Annie. So yeah, come and hug my neck. I'd love to say hi and give you a big squeeze. All right. So I am a super fan of reading biographies to children. Right now, actually, with our 13-year-old, we are reading the biography of George Washington Carver. This was a young man that grew up in the absolute racist South in the 1800s, was denied admission to several universities that he wanted to attend. But rather than get bitter, he got better. And he lived an extraordinary life, and God opened amazing doors for him. And it's just, it's an incredible story of resiliency and perseverance and integrity. George Washington Carver, boy, I'll tell you, read that story to your kids every day of the week and twice on Sunday. It's a great story. But I love the missionary stories from YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And I am very reticent, I can say that word. I am very reticent to give many recommendations on my show. But I will say this without reservation. I love Youth with a Mission's missionary stories, and we have read almost all of them to our children over the years. There's also a really great story. If you have young boys, write this title down, Bruchko, Bruchko. You will love this. Your kids will love it. I would say they need to be roughly the age of 10 or older, but also Youth with a Mission, YWAM missionary stories. They also have them in younger books, and those are hardback books, and they're kind of written in prose, so sort of rhyming stories. I like those. I think they're pretty good for the younger kids, but when your kids hit the age of 10, these chapter books are fantastic. You absolutely need to read Amy Carmichael. You need to read George Mueller, for goodness sake. You need to read George Mueller. You need to read Corey Ten Boom, Hudson Taylor. Oh, for goodness sake. I could go on and on. I love those stories. And Bruchko is just a really, really amazing story by a guy named Don Richardson. And we have read several of his books. Actually, there's another one. Oh, write this one down. There's another one. It's called Peace Child. I don't think it's necessarily from YWAM, but it's called Peace Child. And I mean, you can get it anywhere books are sold. That one is a little bit graphic, but if you've got, you know, kids who I would say, again, maybe on this one, 12 years of age or older, this missionary goes into a culture of like literal cannibals, right? And their highest, the thing that they value in this book, the thing that these natives value more than anything is treachery. Like if the more treacherous you are, actually, it could be a biography about the Democrat Party, because I feel like they also value treachery. Anyway, I digress. This one is called Peace Child. So you, as you can imagine, there's some serious treachery involved in the story. And it ends, I mean, your kids will be on the edge of their seat listening to you read these stories. And I would just encourage you, when you read these books to your kids, get out a map, show them where these stories take place. And then you've got, you know, a history lesson, you've got a geography lesson, and it's just a wonderful, they're life-giving stories. So check that out. Also, of course, Elizabeth Elliot wrote a book about her husband and his missionary journey to the Aka Indian tribe. That book, of course, is called Through the Gates of Splendor, another really great book that you can read to your kids. So I'd love to hear what books you love to read to your kids. I will give them a shout out here at the show. Reach out to me, HeidiStJohn.com/mailbox Monday. And you guys will find a form there. And we love to hear from you. An anonymous listener in Michigan writes in to say, "Hey there, Heidi, I have a question regarding a coworker. She is getting married this fall to another woman. How would you handle the bridal shower and wedding in a loving way without attending because of our biblical view? On knowing that this isn't right, I am the only Christian at my work." These are difficult. These are very difficult issues. And I have been in this situation myself. And, you know, the problem with this, it's not even, you know, what they're asking is that it's beyond just, "Oh, hey, will you meet my girlfriend? And I'm in a homosexual relationship." A wedding demands actually that you enter into celebrating what God says in his word is sin. The Bible is very, very clear on the issue of homosexuality. It's in the Old Testament. It is all over the New Testament. Anybody that tells you that that Jesus didn't speak to it isn't reading their Bible. It's absolutely in the Bible. And so then the question becomes, how do we respond as Christians? Well, I think we respond in love. And love tells the truth. Love tells the truth. We should respond in both grace and love. And I know that we can do it because Jesus did it. And he showed us how to do it. And so I would encourage you, implore you even as a sister in the Lord, to ask God how he would have you approach this couple, this woman who is your coworker, so that she knows that your love for her is constant, that you love her. But to me, and you can't say this to her because she wouldn't understand it. But to me, if one of my kids, for example, were to come to me and say, "You know, Mom, I want you to celebrate this thing that I knew was wrong." So let's say my kid's like, "I'm going to go, you know, in the back alley and shoot up heroin. And I want everybody to come and watch." Well, would you guys go watch? No, you wouldn't. Why? Why wouldn't you watch? Because it would be awful to watch this child that you love make a decision that you know is going to hurt them. And that is what is happening. I drove, you know, earlier today, my daughter just got braces. And after this is my last child to get braces. And I, goodness sake, you guys, I could have mortgaged my house and all the money I've paid out toward the dentist over the years. Anyway, so Sailor goes and she gets braces. And after that, I say, "Hey, let's take you down to the chiropractor." And then they sort of adjusted her jaw and sort of, you know, trying to help her make this adjustment. Ba-da-da. And we drove by the Episcopal Church, which is really right down the street from our chiropractor, who we love. And they're, you know, they've got a giant transgender, it's not even June, and they're flying a giant transgender flag outside of the Episcopal Church. Well, the Episcopal Church is off the rails because it's not that God doesn't love these people. God loves everyone. I mean, God loves, for goodness sake, God shouldn't love Heidi St. John. I got enough sin in my own life, right? So this is not about elevating one sin as saying one sin is worse than another. All sin separates us from God. But the moment that the Christian decides that we can cherry pick God's word, and we can decide which verses are important and which verses are not, and which ones we follow and which ones we don't, we are in trouble. We are in trouble as a church. We are in trouble as a nation. We have an obligation, not just an opportunity, an obligation to live by and tell the truth. And so I would ask the Lord, I'm not going to tell you exactly how to handle it, but I know for sure you shouldn't go. And I know for sure that this woman needs to know that you love her, and moreover, that God loves her. And that he's created her for more than this. But if she doesn't know the Lord, it's going to be that's a tough argument to make. And so ask the Lord to give you the wisdom so that you can communicate with her in a way that is kind. And I would ask the Lord to help her in her response to you as well, because it takes courage to do that. And I understand that on so many levels. So hang in there, and I'm proud of you for even just, you know, wanting to talk about it and bring it to the forefront. These things are difficult. These are difficult questions. We are living in a difficult time, and we're not even to the month of June yet. And I just think, you know, what would happen if God's people would actually live like God says to live? We would be known for our love. We'd be known for wisdom, for rightly dividing the word. And God wants to give you those things. The blessing of God is found inside the boundary. And he lays out his boundary in his word. And these are challenging times. These are, it requires, and this is why I'm so passionate about the Faith That Speaks community, so passionate about the Bible studies that I write. Because I just know that if we were equipped with the word of God, we wouldn't be struggling so much as the children of God to answer these questions. Not that any of them are, not that the questions become less of a struggle, you know, because they're difficult things. But I do think that we can lean in and we'll know, okay, this is what the Lord would have me do. And at the end of the day, that's the most important thing. God, what would you have me do? That is the question that needs to be answered, and God wants to help you with it. So I really appreciate you guys writing in to me. I'm watching your questions just piling up in the queue, and I appreciate it. And we'll be back hopefully very soon with my friend, Dr. Mark Sherwood. And you can leave those questions for both Dr. Mark Sherwood and for my friend, Pastor Phil Hopper. So we're going to be doing more of a ask the pastor questions. And I would love to hear what's on your heart. If you have feedback, I'm happy to read it on the air. And so reach out to me, HeidiSt.John.com/mailbox Monday. And that is how you can find the form to fill out, and we can answer your questions, see what's on your mind. I really want to know, is the podcast sort of hitting you where you live? Is there a topic that you would like to see addressed at the show that we haven't addressed? Is there a guest that you would like to hear from that we haven't invited? We would love to hear from you. Thank you guys also for praying for my family and our team, as this is our very, very busy season. And I would ask, if, you know, for those of you who have committed to praying for this ministry, there's a lot of things here at Firmly Planted Family that we would ask prayer for. And absolutely, we need your financial support. And we would be honored if you would partner with us, as we are aiming to reach a generation of kids who are trapped in a system that has set itself up against the wisdom of God. And we are doing that here at Firmly Planted Family. And you can find out more by going to firmlyplantedfamily.org. You can click on the Homeschool Resource Center, see what we're doing here. And it's exciting, you guys. This is an exciting time to be a Christian. We should be filled with joy, because we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so I appreciate your prayers. Please pray for the safety of our team, as we are on airplanes literally every weekend right now. We could use your prayers just for the strain that it can put on us physically, certainly, and also for the spiritual attacks that absolutely come when we're out on the road like this. This is a battle that God is going to win for the hearts and minds. The Bible teaches us very clearly that one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Everything we do should bring God glory. So we love you guys. Thank you for listening. Write to me, HeidiSt.John.com/mailbox Monday. And we'd love to hear from you. If you would like to study God's word with me, check out my women's Bible study. It really is aimed at women and girls starting at the age of 13. So moms, if you want to do a Bible study with your girls, this is a great one to do. And you can find that at faiththatspeaks.com. We love you guys. Love your people well today. And I will see you again at the intersection of faith